Welcome back to both the audience here at Sven Eriksson's and also those of you at home watching through Shore Television. I'd like to remind you that we are here with the Southern Alberta Council on Public Affairs. As well, at this time, I'd like to announce the topic for next week. It is Emerging Energy and Environmental Opportunities and Challenges in Alberta, and the speaker is Marlo Reynolds. Just to remind you that today's speaker was Cheryl Vick, the Executive Director for Economic Development Lethbridge, and her topic was Labour Force Issues and Opportunities in Lethbridge and Region. Now is our time for our question period. We are going to be using the mic up here. I would remind you to state your name. All questioners, please state your name. Keep your comments brief and limit yourself to one question. And if we are going around fast enough, then perhaps to once everybody's had a chance. Okay, so here we go. First question, Cheryl.
Please be careful when you're coming up that you don't trip on this orange cord that's sitting here, too.
Hi, I'm Daphne of Lapisco. Thank you very much, Cheryl, for your wonderful presentation. I enjoyed the visuals and the forum board. I'm so glad that there was a trade show for young people to think about going into the trade. And the question I have is why isn't our school system looking at a system of 12-plus or 11-plus once they have a year, where we screen children who are very capable in the hands-on areas and allow them to get a head start, they should trade by the time they're 16, they can be out of school, have a trade, and be able to work. As you know, Alberta has the highest rate of dropouts in all of Canada, and this is an untapped source of people. They wouldn't have been on their track because many children are so discouraged by our heavily academic and verbal curriculum that they just drop out and go and work somewhere else or something else may happen in their life. So my suggestion would be that Alberta Learning look at an 11-plus system with a curriculum on trade for boys and girls who have capabilities in this area.
Good. Thanks, Bev. I think that is an excellent point. And I know in the meetings that we've been having, both the Labour Force Steering Committee for Lethbridge, as well as in conversations with the province, some of these systemic flaws or issues, the things that we see that are running through the system that are maybe contributing to the challenges, are on the table and being talked about. The more people in trades group that put on that great trade show last Saturday, that's an issue that they have been championing. They wrote letters to the Minister of Learning and are really taking a proactive approach. And so I think a combination of the political interest in this, as well as organizations like those involved with more people in trade stepping up and offering those solutions is really important. So we'll be continuing to champion that. The other thing that's been raised as part of the system is in schools, grades K through 12, once you get into, in order to be a shop teacher in that system, you not only need to have your trade, but you have to have a degree in education. So it's getting harder and harder to find qualified shop teachers in the education system. So that's another thing that's being championed by some of these folks is, you know, we need to be able to have the educators available to support this as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your thoughts, Cheryl.
It's on.
I'm Bob Anderson. I'm just interested in where you're coming from. I know that's pretty funny. You talk about a real shortage of labor in Alberta, and it's going to get worse. One of the engines driving that situation is art, working, learning, all that stuff. Could I ask you a very simple and basic, and you may think, clueless question? What's the hurry? I've got grandchildren that I hope might have some things left. Why are we rushing so fast to do so much, to do it so soon?
Thanks. Yeah. That's a question that we get asked a lot at Economic Development Lethbridge. And one of the answers I can't answer in terms of the province, because I'm not driving that economic engine. But I do believe that our board, we have 24 members that are representative of every sector in this community. We have an environmental organization representative. We have arts and culture representative, education representatives. When we met and had our planning session last September, it was very obvious that as an economic development organization in a community that doesn't value growth at any cost, that we need to take a balanced approach to growth for ourselves. So I can only at this point say that what we view as economic development and how we fit into the system needs to be based on economics, social, cultural, and environmental factors, and that as a community, we value well-rounded, balanced growth. And so that's how we try to approach it here in Lethbridge. Our concern with the labor issue is because of the bigger engine that's driving the rest of the province and other issues and the demographic factors, if we don't represent Lethbridge well and be part of the opportunity of considering Lethbridge for a place to live and work, we could experience retraction, which then starts to diminish the quality of life that we're used to having. So that's, I think, our board's approach on it, is that we need to be thoughtful and balanced in what we're doing.
I guess it's on. Bob was talking before me. John Barris is my name, Cheryl.
Hi, John.
And thank you. That was done very well. And I commend you and your group there. I'm going to ask a question which would be a specific one and then a general one. And the specific one is, I've been on the city council for 9 years, and while I was there, I did my darndest to get city council interested in arranging for a ride across the CPR bridge, which is a one in the world thing. And we looked at it, and I finally got them to put the bill for a flight to Vancouver for me to meet the president of the vice president of CPR and the president of Time Air at that time. He went with me. And Lethbridge had people making presentations before, but they didn't have anything happening because the brewery was there. Mm-hmm. Now, when the brewery was gone, by then it was time to look for something. And, of course, the minute we started talking about this, they kept talking about it costs money, it costs money, it costs money. And I've never, of course, I'm a liberal, but I've never seen people as conservative as that group of city council. No, that's too much money. Anyway, I ended up going over there, had a meeting, very successful. I got the CPR to say that, yes, they'd be pleased to cooperate with us if we could arrange whatever had to be done. And before, they never went along with it. And we came back, Dick was the guy's name from Time Air.
Richard Barton?
Richard Barton. Yeah. And he said, well, we've got that. And so we went ahead, and I started looking for some more how you can have a bus. It's simple. You just buy a set of wheels that you put underneath them and up and down. And however, when we came to it always says in the details, or when we came to the details, you had money. And you had money, then no, we can't afford it. And now the garden is being blessed, I think. And I was thinking of it too. But anyway, it died today. And I did my best. I couldn't get it done. And so we need to do something like that. If you're going to be concerned about Lethbridge and area of southern Alberta, you have to be concerned of the people that live here, as well as people that you want to come here as tourists. Mm-hmm. And we had several people tell us, what's the matter with you? I've heard them. Why don't you do something with the high-level bridge? Mm-hmm. And all I'm saying, my first question is, have you had or heard of any discussions around those lines? Mm-hmm. Now, just pull that one back. And the other thing will be, The other thing will be, I was very pleased to do this, and I enjoyed it. But you know, you can't look at one side, just growth or just business. You've got to put, and you use the word balance. You've got to have a balance. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad to say that there's many kids. I heard the talk that our kids won't stay here. Well, they won't stay here, but they will after a while stay here. They start raising a family.
I came to Lethbridge, in fact, to Lethbridge in 66. And had I not come to Lethbridge, there would have been a minus road. But we had five, four kids, I guess.
There you go.
So you've got to have both.
Mm-hmm.
How much are we doing about that?
Yeah. Thanks, John. whoop. On the first one, we do have convention and event development as one of the areas under Economic Development Lethbridge. And just after I joined the Economic Development Lethbridge just last June, so I've been here about 8 months, was when they announced that the train bridge has been designated one of the historic events of Canada. And so we have actually initiated conversations with CP again around maybe not doing something like a ride across the bridge because of logistics, but doing something to continue to enhance the bridge as a great asset in our community. So there are conversations happening again, John, but it's just starting.
Won't give up.
And then I think we are taking a very balanced approach in what we're doing in terms of not only attracting people here to work, but keeping the people here that we have. One of the things we believe in our investment attraction when we're looking to attract businesses here, we're trying to find those that fill the gap for jobs that if your children go to the university, that when they graduate, they can stay. And so Sun Life Financial was an example of that as a new business that came to town that had jobs available to help students that graduate here stay here. And that is some of the stuff that we talk about, John, about how do we help the community that's already here. It's like having an oven light on in here.
My name is Cheryl Bradley, and I want to ask you a question about energy. And this is a bit of an explanation. I've read in the paper how bioenergy, wind energy, solar energy are been identified as good economic growth opportunities here in Lethbridge. And your presentation also rightly indicated that Fort McMurray is such a large amount of expert workforce there to develop non-renewable energy, the tar sands. And so it seems to me that we're setting up a bit of a tension here provincially with respect to our direction in energy development in the province, and something that may serve Lethbridge very well, won't serve the Northeast very well.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know whether you're seeing that, and it seems to me that we do have government policies in place that benefit non-renewable energy, and then our alternative energy initiatives really struggle to get off the ground. And so are you seeing that preferential
given in terms of energy and the jobs that are bringing in the province, and then what do you foresee as future jobs in the alternative energy sector?
Thank you.
Thanks, Cheryl. I think that we are working with South Grow. Most of you may have heard South Grow Regional Initiative. It's an economic alliance of 24 municipalities in the surrounding area. It includes Lethbridge. And it's set up by the province as one of the 11 economic regions. South Grow's board has done some work on alternative energy as one of the strategic areas that we could do some positive things in. And our board also has identified alternative energy as a direction. So we're working cooperatively with South Grow. The interesting thing about it is that it is lower on the radar screen in the province. I think you're right in your assessment about the amount of attention being given to non-renewable resources in this province right now and the amount of labor that it's requiring and all the efforts going that way. What we believe is that by working cooperatively as a region and promoting the natural resources that we have here, wind is actually an asset, much to many people's surprise. and we can use that asset to help with long-term energy needs. And I think that we're all looking at it as alternative energy is something that we can champion, that we can help move forward as something that's going to be a longer-term solution, not necessarily one we're going to ramp up as quickly as oil has, but certainly we can bring that here. So I'm not sure if that quite answers, but I appreciated your interesting perspective on the tension issue of setting that up. I don't think we're afraid of that, because I think we are taking a more of a long-term view, and that we think the government should be considering this as an area to grow as well.
Kerry Shellington. Cheryl, thanks for your presentation. I found myself thinking about your, particularly your chart on groups that have high unemployment. It includes Native people and includes some other groups. And it would seem to be, with the labor shortage, it would seem to be a cause for some extraordinary measures to make sure that those groups are employable and that they find their way into the labor market. I'm just curious as to whether any of those extraordinary measures that are happening, and to what extent, provincially, we're really trying to get Native people into the employment market. And my sense is that we're not doing extraordinary measures, and we would take them, I think, not to be charitable, but partly because it's good for us economically. But are those extraordinary things happening?
I think they're starting.